Welcome to the For the Church podcast, another great gospel-centered resource from Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. My name is Jared Wilson. I'm an assistant professor of pastoral ministry and author in residence at Midwestern Seminary. And I'm here as always with my friend and my colleague and my co-host, Dr. Ronnie Kurtz, assistant professor of systematic theology. How you been, bro?
I'm well. How are you, man?
I'm doing okay. Are you recovering okay from... You're not a... You're not a Kansas City Chiefs fan, are you?
No, I am.
Oh, you are?
Yes.
Okay. You're going to have to give me some backstory here because I know you were a St. Louis Rams fan.
Diehard Rams fan, yeah.
And I thought you swore off the NFL when they moved back to L.A.
Yes. That is somewhat true. I'm St. Louis boy, diehard St. Louis sports fan. So huge Blues fan, huge Cardinals fan, huge City fan. And I was... even probably more than all of those when I was a kid, I was a Rams fan. Which you got to remember, the Rams, like Greatest Show on Turf is like the peak of my childhood.
That was your childhood with watching Kurt Warner.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. Yeah. So like to me, like Marshall Faulk, Kurt Warner, Isaac Bruce, Torrey Holt, those guys are like the kings of the world, you know? Yeah. And then, you know, they start getting kind of bad around, you know, 2002, 2003, kind of all of those guys are gone and they're bad. From like 2003 to 2013, like one of the worst 5-year stretches, you know, the modern day Las Vegas Raiders. And I kind of made it a point of pride to like still love them. You know, I was like Steven Jackson's biggest fan because so those like 2-14 seasons, like where all we had was Chris Long on the defensive line and Steven Jackson as a running back, I was with them. You know, it's just me and nobody else. And so what happened, and I'm spending way too, this is a soapbox for me.
I wanted to talk about the Chiefs.
The way that the Rams left St. Louis, they're owned by a man named Stan Kroenke, who owns a lot of other sports teams and is a Missouri guy himself and named after Stan Musial, the Cardinals, probably the best Cardinal of all time. And so the way that, it wasn't just that they left, it was the way that they left, which, you know, the city of St. Louis sued Stan and was successful. He had to pay the city because he broke the law in a number of ways, but it made me hate football. And I just had a bitter taste in my mouth for football, and it stinks because I love football. Yeah. So, but I'm a Missouri boy, you know, grew up in St. Louis, did my undergraduate in like Springfield, then did a decade plus in Kansas City. So I've kind of done the big three cities in Missouri, and I'm a Missouri boy through and through. So when St. Louis doesn't have a team, I typically pull for Kansas City. So like when we didn't have a soccer team, I pulled for Sporting Kansas City. So it was a natural, like, I was like, I know I'm not going to not watch football, and this is my home state.
Right.
So... anyways.
So you didn't stick, you were just so angry with especially the owner and everything and the way they left. You didn't.
The way that I tell people is I know that I became a real Chiefs fan when what I used to cheer for was whatever hurt the Rams the most.
Oh.
So I would cheer for anyone playing the Rams, and that's what I cared about. I now care more about the Chiefs' success than the Rams' failure. Okay. So like if it helps the Chiefs for the Rams to win, I'll actually pull for that to happen.
Okay. So how are you doing? Deal. Back to my original question. How are you doing with the Chiefs? I mean, we're a few weeks now past being eliminated from the playoffs.
Yeah.
Mahomes.
Tore his ACL. Yeah, he's had surgery already.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I hope he'll be bouncing back. You know, Tom Brady had a season-ending ACL injury in the same...
after a Super Bowl loss in his ninth year.
I would mention it was game one.
It was game one.
Of that season.
Which changes a lot.
It does.
Yeah. So against the Chiefs.
So it's been a mediocre season at best, I think, for the Chiefs.
No, bad, yeah.
And to end this way, you doing okay? You got a sense of optimism or
pessimism? No, it's a bummer for sure. Yeah. I do think it allows, I think Patrick has been carrying a bad team for a couple of years now, and even won a Super Bowl with an exceptionally bad team.
I thought last year their record and getting to the Super Bowl all belied the fact that they were not great.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And I hope this, we have a, you know, we could, if the season ended right now, we'd have the 11th draft pick. We could end up having as high as the 7th, depending on how things shake out.
Yeah.
Which the Chiefs haven't had in a decade, you know. So hopefully this allows us to get a couple of good draft picks and help Mahomes out a little bit.
But you still think Mahomes, he's going to come back and be at the top of his game?
Yeah, I mean, as you know, Tom had 10 years between...
This is Tom Brady.
Yeah, I know. I still think Tom's the greatest. But, I mean, the similarities are there. Three Super Bowls, ninth season, they tear their ACL after a Super Bowl loss. But, you know, the Patriots the dynasty had 10 years between Super Bowl wins, and so I think it's a little short-sighted to be like, it's over, you know, the dynasty's over. So,
well, while we're on the subject of similarity and things looking like something else.
Incredible. You see it, friends?
Let's talk about artificial intelligence. Man. Not that Patrick Mahomes is the AI version of Tom Brady.
There's nothing artificial about Patty Mahomes.
Nothing artificial about him, I guess.
Yeah.
Although if he has enough surgeries, maybe some
that's true,
stuff
except for his left knee right now.
Let's talk about the church and AI.
Yes.
Your experience with AI, positive, negative, how have you seen it? How have you confronted it? Maybe we'll start there. What's been your experience with any kind of AI use
we've
in the school, church, et cetera?
That's right. We've never talked about AI together. And so even I wasn't sure what you were going to bring to the table today. So I even, you know, before the episode.
Literally nothing. It just says church and AI.
Yeah, that's right.
And then there's notes, for the next episode.
Yeah, notes for other episodes, but none for this one. I wasn't sure where you were in the conversation. So I just, you know, quickly asked you, are you a techno-optimist? Or a techno-pessimist.
Yeah.
And you said pessimist. Yeah. That's where I'm at, too.
Okay.
So I think if you zoom out and get a lay of the land of technological advancement, I think if you kind of evaluate the way technology has grown and ask, has it been a net positive for humanity or a net negative? I think, by and large, it's a net negative.
Yeah.
Now, I will say, you asked my experience with AI. I'm pretty pessimistic. I feel a little bit like the grumpy old man, you know, shouting at the clouds, as it were, and kind of warning colleagues and students that you shouldn't just swallow this pill because it's there. I literally just read a fiction book, finished one. I talked about it last episode on the Hierarchy series, and one of the lines he says in the book is, the oldest argument for doing the wrong thing is that everyone's doing it.
Yeah.
And I feel a little bit like that with AI.
Yeah. It almost has this inevitability to it because it's become so seamless in search.
Like, that's right.
Now you go into Google and say, you know, I'm looking for something
you have to actively
instructions
opt out
for something even or whatever.
Yeah.
And the first results is an AI generated thing, you know. So it's just almost like they're just sort of, you have to, you know, actively circumvent it.
Yeah. So this is where I'm at. I'm coming to the show kind of like open-handed a little bit because I was literally last night having a conversation, a long extended conversation about AI where I don't have a settled conviction yet. I know that I don't love it. However, I don't feel like I'm thoughtful enough yet to really have strong opinions because, you know, there's many things that I don't love about AI. The primary one is I think it uniquely makes us not human. And we can talk about that later. But I think I'm still left feeling not thoughtful enough because I haven't developed this like strong aversion to other tools that I use for productivity. Like I use Word instead of a typewriter or handwritten stuff. I use HVAC, heating and air, instead of, you know, chopping wood and using my fireplace. And so it's like there's other slow opportunities to develop virtue and depth that I have circumvented in the name of ease in technology where I haven't done that with AI. So I'm still working on what exactly a nuanced, thoughtful conviction is for Ronnie Kurtz. But one of the questions I'm asking myself is, where is my line? That's one of the things I'm a little worried about right now. Is right now it feels like everyone's adopting it or even like embracing it emphatically because they can. And for all of us, there's got to be a line somewhere where we say, no, actually, I'm not willing to cross that line technologically. Like now I'm sacrificing too much humanness for the sake of technology. One of my favorite Wendell Berry lines, he says kind of famously now, I can see the next great divide being between those who are content to live as creatures and those who wish to live as machines. And that's what I'm feeling right now, is where am I content to say, I understand AI might help this limitedness I feel, but actually this limitedness is a gift from God, part of my being human. And if it means you all are going to pass me by on the AI train, then so be it. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find where that line is.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think this, you know, I don't know if this started with the cotton gin or the printing press or what have you, but I think where we're at certainly started with the phone, with the cell phone or the smartphone, I guess. and sort of just the unfettered way it's now just an extension, or maybe even just the social internet. I was thinking about this the other day. There was a time where you had to go onto the internet.
That's right.
You'd have to even pick a phone number out of a little list, and you'd hear the little submarine sound to get onto the internet. And then you would have to get off the, and then you get off the internet so somebody could use the phone or whatever it was. Or you know, you get knocked off somehow because somebody else picked up the phone in your house. Now it's just like, that's the world we're swimming in. Like, you don't go onto the internet. It's a utility. I mean, it's just a thing. It's like electricity or something. And so it's just a constant. So we kind of blurred that line, that disconnect between the information access and ourselves as a repository of it. And we almost like grafted ourselves into this thing. And there, of course, have been science fiction books and movies and everything about this as well.
Yeah.
You know, like just almost becoming machines, or transhumanism is now kind of the next frontier, even from the kind of the AI, you know, robots and things, is in integrating technology into our actual bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that, you know, so that's another frontier, I think, that's, you know, ahead of us. So in some sense, like we kind of open this gate, and you know, the goats are out in the field now, and like, well, how do we secure them up? There have been things that I've had to ask myself, like how much content is beyond the pale in terms of I'm short-circuiting my ability to be a thoughtful person. So when I see, like I just saw yesterday, someone on Twitter saying, hey, you know, here are like 7 AI hacks that improved, you know, my productivity. And they were all content generating things. I tell AI or ChatGPT as an example of it, write me a 1,200 word blog post that, you know, features this topic from an academic perspective, Saves me so much time. I was like, well, yeah, if they're just writing the post for you, right? So I know that's a line I won't cross.
Yes, that's blatantly wrong.
I'm not
going to
tell AI, write the article for me.
That's right.
Write the sermon for me. Yeah. Write the book for me. I have gone to AI and said, give me 12 discussion questions on. Now, I was very proud. I brought, as you probably know, at the end of our writing and the writing for the church class here at Midwestern, we have this sort of big barn burning discussion on C.S. Lewis's Paralandra.
Yeah.
And I have in my little copy all kinds of jotted questions and notes and everything. But I thought, okay, we got a 3-hour block. If we somehow get through all of this, I want some backup questions. And so I asked ChatGPT, I think that's what it was. Maybe it was just Google's AI. Give me, 10 discussion questions for group discussion questions for C.S. Lewis's Paralandra. And it popped out these questions. I folded it up. When I looked at it later, 2 of the questions had no relation to the book. They were about another novel.
Yeah.
I was like, what characters are they talking about? That character's not. And I Googled, and it somehow got information merged and messed up. So it wasn't even accurate.
Mm-hmm.
But I was proud. We got to the end of that 3-hour block. I didn't have to use any of those questions.
Yeah.
But they were there. And I thought, was that wrong for me to ask it to do some discussion questions when, you know, if I really put more thought, I could have come up with another 10 questions maybe.
Yeah.
That I wanted to do. I did once for a video shoot for Lifeway, where I had to do a talk on union with Christ. And I was it was a series of talks, 7 talks. And one of the talks was union with Christ. And for most of them, I was looking at previous content that I'd produced. I was kind of in my Word, file, like, hey, what did I say on this passage? And what did I say about this? And I put in union with Christ, and I came up with all, like, there was just all these examples, like, man, I really need to figure out something that I can, that's a little more distilled. And so I think I shared this on a previous episode. I literally went into, I think it was Google's AI, and I said, what does Jared C. Wilson say about union with Christ?
Yeah.
And it gave me this stuff, even including references to my works. And I thought, yeah, this is what I do think. You know?
This is a smart guy.
And so I used that as an outline.
Yeah.
I didn't use it as the script or anything, but I thought, okay, this is a good distillation of what I already think.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Is that beyond the pale for use? Maybe for some people it is. It's not me sitting down saying, write the script for me, or write the talk for me, or write the message for me. But it's getting close to like, give me some skeleton, give me some handholds to kind of work with. I think you and I, even if we would land different places there, we would say for people who just without any, you know, discrimination whatsoever. Yes. Notice just like, yeah, AI, it's a tool.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't I use it, you know, make my life easier and simpler. And I think, as you said, there's an impoverishment of what it means to be human.
Mm-hmm.
When we do that.
Yeah. I've kind of, as I'm working through, I've been thinking about this probably more than I should. I actually was
thinking about it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'm asking, what should I think about this?
Yeah. That's right. Tell me how to shut you off.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I've been thinking about this probably more than I should. For some reason, this has uniquely like worried me, and I'm not an alarmist really.
Okay.
I think, you know, being in the academic sector, there's just, it's just really front and center. And so wanting to be thoughtful, I was, you know, even on another podcast with Nadia Williams, Christians Reading Classics, and we did a really fun episode where we were talking about That Hideous Strength and how would the NICE, you know, propagate AI and what would their arguments be for it versus, you know, Ransom and his crew. And I even have in my current syllabus, I have a, if you're caught using AI, I have an additional assignment you have to do, which is you have to read That Hideous Strength by C.S. Lewis, okay. And you have to write a few answers. You have to answer the question, what are the three fundamental convictions of the NICE? Like, how would they word their own convictions? And then, do you think Ransom or Withers, do you think Ransom or Wither would appreciate AI more? And how does what they think about AI influence what it means to be human or your ability to apprehend the true good and beautiful? So that shows kind of where I'm at. But a couple of questions that I've been like thinking about as I've been spending way too much time thinking about this is I have a few of them written down here, so I can list a couple of them. One is be versus seem. I've used this a lot with my students and with others. I have, you know, even a student who, they know that I love old theology. I love classical theology. And so they were really excited to tell me one day, hey, Dr. Kurtz, I was writing on, you know, this particular doctrine, and I asked ChatGPT, give me the best quotes from Augustine on this topic. And they were like really proud of like the way they've used AI. And I was like, I'm less appreciative of this than you might think I am, because what I know that you're trying to do is say, hey, I use this tool to point me to Augustine, right, and maybe I went and read it, maybe I didn't, I don't know. But what I'm worried about here is now this person seems like someone who has read Augustine a lot and spent a lot of time contemplating God with this person.
Right, okay.
But they are not that kind of a person,
yeah,
you know? And I do get a little bit worried of like, why be deep when I could seem deep? Mm. Or why be thoughtful when I could seem thoughtful? And there is this seem versus be that I'm a little worried about. That's it's a charade. Yeah. And I think AI is helping that, hurting that, you know?
Yeah.
Another one is, how does this help, or how does this distract me from cultivating depth? You know, there is I often will hear people say like, yeah, I was gonna read the book, but I just asked AI to summarize it for me and I got like the key insights. And I'm like, yeah, but the slow prod through the work is actually what cultivates your soul.
Right.
It's not just thinking the conclusions after the author. It's the slow prod through the work that is doing something in you, you know? It's why, yeah, I mean, we could talk about that one for a long time. But there's also this last one that this is where I'm probably spending the most time right now is there virtue lost in automation? The answer to that question is yes. There will always be virtue lost in automation. So for example, like there is virtue lost in the movement from going from being the kind of person who used to split your own wood and build a fire in your home to turning on a heater.
Yeah.
But I've made that decision for myself. I'm this kind of a person, right, you know? Is there virtue I'm sacrificing in order to be that kind of person? Probably. So what we can't say is there virtue lost in the automation of a thing? Yes, therefore don't do it. It can't be that, because we've not done that in other places.
Yeah.
But even with that being said, my worry is we aren't even thinking about that. And it's just, I can, therefore I ought. I can use AI, I can automate, therefore I ought to automate. Without any questioning of like, okay, I can automate, but what virtue am I leaving on the field if I do this? And I'm worried that that's not at the forefront of the minds of my students right now.
No, and in some ways, what I resent or regret is having to adopt more of the technological advancements just to know if they're using AI. So typically,
yeah, that's a good point.
I like print it out.
Yeah.
You know, I want them to, however they compose their papers or assignments, I want them to print it out and bring me a printout because I prefer to read on paper than I do on a screen. It's also much easier to edit, which I do. So I'm not just, if it were simply a matter, if my assignments in my classes were simply a matter of getting facts right, who wrote this, who taught that, what year did this, you know, happen, I would just do screen. That's fine. But I'm looking at essays and spiritual reflection questions, and I'm jotting things. And I just find that easier to do with my pen on paper.
Same.
So, and certainly in the writing class when I'm editing things, it's just a lot easier than it is to, you know, be trying to use whatever the Canvas thing is. But to know if somebody used AI.
Yeah. You have to use AI.
You have to use AI.
Yeah.
You have to use Canvas. They have to submit it through Canvas so that there's an electronic version that I can now look and see. We use Turnitin or there's other things that will tell you, you know, the percentage likelihood that this was, you know, plagiarized or AI generated. And so I resent that I can't just. Why can't we just all trust each other and write on paper? But it's such an epidemic.
Yeah.
Doctoral students I've encountered who use it to compose entire papers. And then certainly even at the undergrad and graduate level as well. And so there have been times where if I've had to start asking them to submit electronically, which is what they normally do anyway, so it's easier for me to check, because there have been times where I've taken a printout and literally gone to an online program and retyped there and said, tell me if this is AI generated. You know, I can't copy and paste, so let me just do a large section and try to see. And, you know, I understand the aim in a student doing that, which is I want a good grade. That's the reason that I'm doing this.
Yeah.
But you have to have a broader, deeper ambition for your educational journey than simply getting a good grade. Getting good grades is great. We hope everyone gets good grades. But what kind of person are you becoming?
That's exactly right.
What habits are you developing into, you know, your post-educational, especially in our environment? Like, you're going to go be a pastor. Are you just going to be the, you know, regurgitator of things that are mechanically produced for you?
Yes.
And some guys do. I mean, pastoral plagiarism. We've done episodes on that
before. Oh, yes, that's right.
You know, but even, like, being able to connect with people. I think if every meeting I had, every discussion I had, I was constantly just going and saying, give me 10 questions to ask this person or 20, like I'm, you know, delegating soul work to something that doesn't have a soul. Yeah.
That's exactly right.
And I just think even, again, this is a larger, you know, question other than just AI. It's, I think, just the internet, but our access to information, I don't think it's made us, it's maybe made us smarter, but it's not made us deeper.
That's right.
It's made us more information heavy, but you know, less soulful people. And so I've become accustomed to, as I can think about it, when you're in a conversation with somebody and they're like, hey, who was that actor in that movie who da 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 da? Well, we have a phone. Like, I always wanted to say, hey, let's just not know.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Amen.
Let's embrace the limitation. There was a day when we had a question like that. Maybe you'd call the library.
Yeah.
Like, literally, you would call the library. Yeah. Are you old enough to remember this? Uh-huh. Or, you know, or like, if you wanted some information, if you wanted the weather or something, you call 411, you dial 411 on your phone and be like, what's the temperature and whatever, they can tell you. But if you had like a general, like a fact question, you know, what's the national animal of Australia? You know, is it the koala or is it the kangaroo or is it the, you know, like you just would Google that now.
Yeah.
But there was a day like you just didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you'd call the library and ask the librarian and they would be glad because, you know, they like to, you know, look things up, and they got to look it up in a book.
Yes.
Encyclopedia.
And that's the Wendell Berry, like, that's content to live as creature.
Yes.
Versus the desire to live
as
machine.
But what if we just decided at some point, you know what, there's some things I just don't need to know.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, I would, I would recommend, what I don't want to, we're both techno-pessimist, so people should have that in mind when they're listening to this episode. Take everything with a grain of salt. There are techno-optimists out there. It's very hard for me to relate to their worldview. But if you are going to be a techno-optimist from a techno-pessimist, I would just recommend reading two books.
Okay. Don't let AI summarize them for you.
Yeah, that's actually, right. Actually read them. One is going to be surprising, and one is maybe not surprising. The one that's not surprising, or let's, let me start with the one that's surprising, okay, would be the Space Trilogy. And that's kind of cheating because I'm getting three books in one here. But read the Space Trilogy, especially That Hideous Strength, and do that work of, like, think about what the NICE would think about AI and what Ransom would think about AI and what, you know, the whole Ransom crew. And then, you know, do the work of, like, what does the disembodied head of the NICE even resemble for Lewis, for C.S. Lewis? And how is that comparable to AI? And, you know, is slowness more advantageous than pragmatism at times?
Yeah.
And is beauty worth it in an age where everything can be automated, thank you. Yeah. The second one is a little more obvious. It's newer, but Paul Kingsnorth, have you read the book yet?
No.
On the Unmaking of Humanity.
Wow.
By Paul Kingsnorth. Okay. Now he makes me look not pessimistic. So I mean he is very much pessimistic.
Like a Luddite almost.
That's right.
Yeah.
But I think he at least is gonna raise questions for readers that are like, I should probably at least have an answer to that. Before I just hook, line, and sinker, make AI a part of my life,
yeah,
I should at least think about ways in which it's making me unhuman. And maybe creaturely limitations aren't things to be gotten over.
Yeah.
And maybe we should recognize that limitation is not part of the fall.
Yeah.
But we were limited before the fall, you know, and therefore it's a gift.
I probably use movies too much as illustrations, but the new Mission Impossible, the latest Mission Impossibles, really position artificial intelligence almost like a demonic entity of some kind. They call it the anti-god, and which I just find really fascinating.
Yeah,
from Hollywood production.
Yeah, yeah, from Hollywood
because
especially.
Because more and more we are seeing AI as being harmful, spiritually unhealthy for people who have. I think, you know, mental illness of some kind, but people who are struggling with depression and anxiety and they go to AI and they have AI boyfriends or girlfriends or AI psychiatrists and they are asking them questions. And we've seen cases of young people committing suicide and AI, you know, certain chatbots or whatever, almost either encouraging that or reassuring them that it'll be okay if they do and all these sorts of things. I think there's a spiritual component to this beyond just the, you use the word pragmatism, and utilitarianism, I think. Just the whole idea, like, it reduces the human experience to what we produce, to efficiency, productivity, in ways that cut against what it means to be human, I think, you know, biblically and spiritually. But I think even this, the spiritual component of looking to artificiality for things that have supernatural or spiritual, that there's a reality there. And when you artificialize that, or when you go into a world that creates a synthetic version of things that are in God's word, that are things we find in the community of the church, I think that the enemy uses that. And I you know, certainly Lewis would take that route
without a doubt.
Space Trilogy as well. So when you think about the church and AI, maybe we could just wrap up to some general cautions. I think anything artificial, you should immediately have kind of an allergy to as it pertains to the church.
Yes.
Church community. Everything from virtual services, right? I understand using different tools and technology to reach people who are shut-ins or providentially hindered. Though, like, this is not about like not having a live stream or something like that. But our instincts should be over time to think that's not normative.
Yes.
That's an exception. That is a tool for a particular extenuating circumstance. I'm not going to let that become the normative, regulative way. If I'm using AI to distill some research for me in my sermon prep, I'm not going to let that become the normative, regular way that I do sermon prep or sermon study. I'm not going to let that encroach into, I could really save a lot of time if I actually did this instead of looked at these commentaries. And if I actually, I just think more and more we have to be careful with the artificializing of anything in the messaging that our God put on flesh.
Yes.
and grew in wisdom and stature, and you know, was vulnerable to the point of death. And that reality, I think, the incarnational reality of Christianity, I think stands as at least a passive testimony against artificial intelligence.
Yes, amen.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think we solved the problem.
I will say, you know, maybe this will be just a final encouragement. It's not going anywhere. It's only going to get faster.
Yeah.
So I do think developing a conviction and answering that question, where's my line, will be helpful to do.
That's good.
Probably sooner rather than later.
Yeah. And your listener, here's my line. If you have not left us a review,
have AI write one.
You've got to come over to the good side. Come to the right team. Have AI write the review for you. Then you can just copy and paste. But leave us a good review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, wherever you listen to or watch your favorite podcast. And until next time, may Jesus be big in your church.